Hello, bitches. This is Dr. Mo, and you are flying into the danger zone.
I like to dream. Yes, yes, right between the sound machine. On the cloud of sound, I duck in the night. Any place it goes is right. Goes far, flies near.
Everybody, what's happening, bitches? This is Dr. Mo with the Danger Zone. Welcome to the podcast. We got some good shit for you. Germany claims third place in the 2006 FIFA World Cup. Third place over Portugal. They beat them 3-1. I expected Germany to be in the top three. It's a great team. But also their host nation, a lot at stake, a lot of pride in this whole thing. Those Germans, we are Germans. They like things that we do. Things must be squared, and if they are first one, there is a second one, and there's also a third one. And if it's in Germany, Germany must be one of the three. It must preferably be the first one. There must be a German winner. Otherwise, Germany should be in second place. Whoever is first got lucky. And thirdly, Germany must be in third place, or else there will be hell to pay. We will go back to Poland and we will do what we should have done the first time. Guess them all. We will put them in the gas chamber. Yes, they are very clean. IKEA, they took our example from them. Oh, their example from us. I don't care. We won 3-1 over Portugal. We are number 3. Congratulations! Congratulations, Germany! Michel Platini, who is the French soccer legend, one of the most legendary soccer players in the history of soccer, said that during his career, Italy was the only team that they enjoyed beating more, that he enjoyed beating more than any other. And now that France is facing Italy in the finals tomorrow, 9 o'clock. And I guess it's 9 o'clock their time, which makes it 6 hours earlier to us. So 3 o'clock our time and 9 o'clock their time tomorrow. France is going to meet with Italy, their legendary rival. Michel Platini himself says, yes, this is the absolute match. Zinedine Zidane is going to take on Portugal. Platini has been a leader in soccer. He's 51 today. He's the enduring icon of the French game. Everybody wants to bleed Platini because he was the motherfucking man. Now Zidane is right behind him. Let's not forget. Top scorer in the fucking game. He keeps a watchful eye over the world of football, you know. He's, you know, I'm going to call it football, all right, because it's what they, you know, what they call it in football. And first and foremost, of course, he's proud to see Les Bleus reach their second FIFA World Cup final in 3 attempts. Two of which he was part. He's a descendant of Italian immigrants. Now, by the way, Michel Platini. Platini, would you want to be Italian? Platini, he comes from an Italian family. Just because he's working in France, is no mean he's a French all the way. It's a little bit, it's a little piece, it's gonna be in Italy, with the Virgin Maria, just like the way we do. You see The Godfather, you see the movie, you see The Sopranos, you understand, Michel Platini, he has a piece of Italy inside of him. even though it was a French champion. Yes, avevamo sbirato. Costam rapisci. Zit. Okay, Michel Platini. He's 51, the fucking guy. I mean, I grew up on this guy. Michel Platini. He's 50 fucking one. I remember playing in our courtyard, we had a little area that we played soccer there. And I remember we would pick who you would be. Like, you know, we'd get together. It was like, seven kids, and sometimes I'd bring in my little sister and brother, because they were fucking, you know, to me they were like, you know, fucking playmates at will. Bring those fuckers in, play with me, motherfuckers. You know, I would have them on the field, and we would play soccer, and I'd like always be Michel Platini, because like he was my favorite all-time fucking player. I mean, could you imagine, listen to me, Dr. Mo here. Michel Platini, one of my fucking heroes. 51 today. He gave an exclusive and candid interview to FIFA. He really talked about it. They asked him, he says, what are your thoughts on the 2006 World Cup? I'm going to do the interview because I love Michel Platini. He's a great guy. This game's coming up. I'm really excited about it. So it's a big game. It's a final of the World Cup. So obviously, you know, I'm going to talk about it. And I'm going to do the interview. Mr. Platini, what are your thoughts on the 2006 FIFA World Cup? And said elsewhere that it's a coach's World Cup, and I could also have it the World Cup, call it the World Cup of Tactics. To some extent, that's a trend that has carried over from other competitions. Things have changed because 20 years ago, it was the Players' World Cup. There was more freedom then, whereas now everything is dominated by tactics. You seem a little disappointed. I'm not saying the football is poor, it just depends more than ever on what the coaches come up with. And in this tournament, you have to admit the formation has been rather defensive. In terms of football, on offer, I don't think Germany 2006 will go down in the annals. But having said that, in terms of the organization and atmosphere, there's no comparison. How do you explain France's place in the final, given they seemed so ineffective a few weeks ago? I don't think France are the best team in the world. Oh my god, he just fucking fucked his own team in the fucking ass. He just pulled out his French dick, laid out his fucking Euro balls right in a fucking sandwich maker and said, come to Pamper, it's dinner fucking time. I don't think France are the best team in the world, but they are very difficult to beat, especially so in a cup competition. Exactly the same goes for Italy, and it's no coincidence that these two sides are in the final. On the other hand, teams like Spain and Argentina were outstanding in the group phase, but went early. How do you explain that? That's the story of the World Cup, or you can't start strongly and finish strongly. It's impossible, the main reason being the overriding importance of physical preparation, but particularly in the modern game. Nonetheless, you also have to be strong enough mentally to get through the first round without being in top form. The French managed it because their group was fairly straightforward. As a team, they don't play easy football. They have to battle a fair bit. And in the knockout phase, they come up against teams who suited their styles. Teams who play football like Spain, Brazil, and Portugal. Now, Portugal surprised the fuck out of me, I gotta say. To see them take France as far as they did, it's beautiful to see that Portugal really had a fucking job to do this time, and they fucking did it. They took themselves all the way up to where they took them, unfortunately were beat by Spain 3-1, but, you know, by France 3-1, but the game that they put together, as a matter of fact, this track in the background is a French club track. It's really interesting. It's called You're Fucked Up. You're fucked. Tu m'as promis, je pourrais des postales. C'est comprends pas, ce n'est pas les vidéos. Let me play a little bit of that shit, because I like that shit. It's hot. Mon cœur ton sourire, mais j'ai eu des grimaces. Tu m'as promis. Et je t'ai cru. Ingrid, tu es foutu. She's Italian. She's speaking in French. I mean, I don't. Anyway, it's funny. But the French are up there, and Platini is saying, you know, they're asking him, what do you think the key to the final is? And he says, for the Italians, it's Andre Pirlo and how well he can bring his teammates into the game. Okay, because, well, here's the fact. There's the fact. Andrea Pirlo has got his own fucking game. Okay, he's in a fucking spaghetti parlor and he's got the fucking menu and he knows what's going on and he's ordering from the back kitchen. Okay, the team has to follow him. Whenever you got a fucking superstar, you got to figure out how to work with this guy to make sure you win, because he's got a special talent. He might be an asshole, but he's got what it takes to get you up there. So work with this guy and figure out what he needs. And you know what Platini is saying, that, you know, he's pretty much saying that Andrea Pirlo, and whether they can, you know, work in there. Plus, he's a little senior. In the French camp, he says it's going to be the interaction between Zidane and Henri. And Zidane is a midfielder and Henri is a forward. And so, obviously, that link-up is fundamental to the team, he says. Zidane is a fucking powerhouse. This fucking little Turkish fucking Hamburgan fucking raghead. All right? Zinedine Zidane, yalla, lahbile, Zinedine Zidane, yalla, lahbile. You know where he's from, all right? He's from down there with the fucking brown skins, all right? He's north of Africa or whatever. So he's down there. And that's where these people are from. So you gotta fucking pay attention to this guy. He's a fucking mega powerhouse, all right? He used to play fucking soccer in the streets. They didn't have no fucking streets. It was like dune buggy paths. Picture a dune buggy path. It's a fucking dune buggy path. I got a few things to do. First of all, I want to talk about a couple of things I got to do. Mark Starr, we got to do an interview. So sit tight. We're going to make it happen. Richie Rich. You've been calling me like crazy. I've been running like crazy, not answering the phone. I'll get back to you. Mr. Ray, I wanna tell you, I got shit I'm sending you in a minute after I do this fucking podcast. I'm gonna tell you, I had a crazy story today. Woke up this morning, started the day, was a little crazy. I was trying to get a podcast going early in the morning. You know, I was feeling quite the fanatic. I had been listening to my podcast all night long the previous night. I was pretty jazzed up and entertained about myself. By myself. And so I thought, I says, I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to sit down. And every time my wife, I says, you know, she thinks I'm nuts. Every time I go, she says, you know, that's an interesting thing. She says, what are you going to do? Go podcasting? You going to podcast it? What are you podcasting? What are you podcasting? I'm podcasting. What are you podcasting? You podcast. Oh, I got a podcast. Podcast. Got a new podcast. Got a new podcast. Oh, my God. I got a new podcast. But anyway. Okay, so anyway, I was going to do a podcast, and things didn't work out so much early in the morning. Things got a little crazy. I got in trouble. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I got my wife pissed off, and, I figured, I says, I got a nut. I went to see my African cousin. He's over in Bud Lake. Love this guy. He's an international pimp. He's an American pimp. I'm going to talk about him a little bit. But first of all, Platini is saying, you know, Zidane is the guy, and he's, he was asked, what do you think of Zidane? He says he's been crucial to the World Cup, you know, not because he played very well, because he kind of sort of raises the level of competency on the other side, which is, I think, what he's talking about when he says Andrea Pirlo is about him and how well he can bring his teammates up. So obviously, Platini thinks that he was the one that... Now, this is very interesting. Take a look at that. Take a look at this shit. Platini obviously thinks that he... alone had to work so hard to raise the level of skill and competition within his teammates. Why? Because he makes the same comment back to back. What do you think about Italy? What do they got to do? Well, Andrea Pirlo has to bring his teammates into the game. And he says, what about Zidane? What do you think about Zidane? He says, he raises the level of the rest of his side. Doesn't that say the same thing? I brought my niggas up. I was the shit. Look at me. Well, Platini, I fucking love you. I grew up dreaming about being like you. But guess what, bitch? You know what? This is crazy. I'm about to downplay one of my own fucking heroes. It's pretty embarrassing, especially because, I mean, you don't know how much this guy was a hero. So much where I wrote his name all over my notebooks in class and shit, because I was, you know, I used to get in trouble with the Catholic school. They fucking hated me there. I went to the fucking Sister Maria. Says, how do you know, like, this went down at the Last Supper? I mean, let me ask you this. I figured the Romans, they fucking left, and all the other guys went their way. I mean, who got the information? And, that got me a trip to Mother Superior. Platini obviously had some issues. My hero, you're being a cocksucker, okay? You're being a cocksucker. You're pissed that you never brought France to a World Cup. I could understand that. I used to worship you. But guess what, pal? You're as old style as I am, so get your fucking ass on out of here and let Zidane take over. He'll do whatever he's got to do. You did what you had to do. Don't you think that this guy learned from you? Don't you think that this guy grew up watching you like I did? Don't you think that we idolized you as a fucking legend and we learned from your mistakes as well? That's what kids do. They look at parents and learn their fucking mistakes. Parents are idiots. We do our fucking routines. Our kids learn from it because they start out at the level where we're at and then they just grow from there. I mean, we start out at a level that our parents are. We kind of pick up from there. We kind of move on and we end up seeing them for what they are a lot faster than they think we could. Not that they think that we could ever see them that way because they're so wrapped up in being parents. And that's okay because I'm going to be a parent one day. And I love my parents. And it's a basic shit here. So Platini is out there, and he's saying the same shit about Zidane that he's saying about Andrea Pirlo. That's fine. They're saying that, they asked him. It says a lot of people have been also impressed with how Patrick Vieira has managed to impose himself on the team. This is a nigga imposing himself on the French team. White people to the max. The original white people. The people Jesus mixed up with. Jesus mixed up with the fucking French. Patrick Vieira. Nigga is the one thing to watch. He has been imposing himself on the team. Two things. I've grown up in America as a young man, and I've learned racism very quickly, both ways. Me to them to me. You gotta figure out how to work through that. Number two, Patrick Vieira is a fucking superstar, and he's the likes of Yannick Noah, who was a fucking tennis master emerging out of Africa, white father, black mother. That's how he got into France. All these Africans, they run to France and they try to find a way, just like our Spanish people run to France. I was talking to my cousin today. He's very, very worried. He is very, very worried. There could be a fucking comet coming down here, and he wouldn't be as worried about it as he is with the Spanish situation. I love Spanish people. Me quiero las latinos, las latinas, chiquitas, mujeres, putas, hijos de mierda. That's just my fucking, I'm showcasing my knowledge. I'm showcasing my knowledge as I sip vodka crayons. What the fuck am I talking about? Patrick Vieira is a fucking superstar. They hate him over there. They're not happy, you know, because he actually he's imposed himself on the team. And Platini is saying, I don't believe there has been a sudden change in Vieira this World Cup, but this partnership with Claude Makélélé has certainly peaked. And I even go further that the four defenders behind those two midfielders have been very solid. They're what I call the six heavyweights on the side. Wait a minute. His partnership with Claude Makélélé. Okay. The two nigga baboons are hanging out together on the fucking soccer field. Okay? The fucking... Yo, shout out to all the guys in Chicago listening right now. These fucking guys on the soccer field, they're running around. They're running around with fucking tates. Right? Park the car, get the fuck out of here. Well, they're impressed, you know. Platini played in a France-Italy round of 16 at the Mexico 1986 World Cup, which was understandably a special game for him. And here's what he's had to say about his mindset back then.
Noci di riuscire, I was absolutely out to beat Italy more than any other team, in fact, partly because of my origins and partly because I played for Juventus. But above all, because I never ever got the end of it from my Italian fans if I had hadn't to laugh.
Whatever that was. He used to play for Juventus during the off season, like during the... he was a Juventus, which was an Italian team in the European leagues. Local team in, over there in Milan, I think, or Palermo. Or Rome. I'm not sure. Sorry. But, I mean, I used to know that. I used to watch him all the time. I'm sorry. I'm fucking... Who am I? Dr. Mo. My database. I gotta fucking do a query. Stand by. Select space star. All dot. First. Comma. Open. Yeah, I'm coding. I'm coding in my head. He's saying that, you know, he absolutely had to beat Italy. He'd be a lot... He's saying that back then they were a lot better than they were. That's crazy. He's saying since 1982, apparently, South American teams made it to the semifinals. For the first time since 1982, South American teams made it to the finals. And now I'm talking about, you know, back in 1982 when, you know, a lot of the big players retired. I mean, that was back then. Maradona, apparently, he died of fucking drug addiction. I found out from my cousin today. He keeps me fucking posted on what's going on. He tells me fucking Diego Maradona, short little Spanish guy, whose ancestors are probably living in Livingston, Georgia right now, is he died of addiction. I guess opium or something. I don't know what's down there. It couldn't be weed. Weed doesn't kill. Weed just elevates certain people. And I love the commercials they do about weed when they show, like, the guy at the drive-thru fucking driving like he doesn't give a shit. Let me tell you something. When you're on weed, I think it just makes you more paranoid, so you pay attention to every goddamn thing. So I don't think that those motherfuckers would be doing that. And plus, you know, when you're on weed, you're probably, like, going to be like, you know what, I'm bugging too. Let me talk to my little brother. And you're feeling pretty cool about it, and you're talking to him, and you're having more contact. It's not, you know, my brother didn't talk to me because he was on weed, and now he's dead. No. That's not that. You're happy. Your brother died of cancer. All right? Not fucking weed. Fucking focus on that. You know, he doesn't think that the South American side, Platini, that is, doesn't think that they performed poorly. He says that just true on paper, whatever, you know, that our absence has been. The Brazilians have actually a fantastic team. Here they lost 1-0 to France, and that's kind of difficult to catch out. But, you know, he doesn't call that a failure. And so that's, you know, he's saying everything came down to small details. The luck of the draw, having to play the hosts. You know, well, you know, the hosts are going to be fucking horny for everything, so you can't fuck it up. He says only one African team made it through to round 16. Was that not a little disappointing? Oh, that's a racist question. Yes. Because you could phrase it like this. Only one African team made it through the round of 16. That was a little disappointing. It's disappointing to see the Africans can't make it to our level. They're not able to... Well, that's right. They have fucking... Look at the coaches that they have. They have African coaches. You have to get master strategists who have the experience and the means to be working through, you know, some fucking tribal bullshit. These are fucking slave sellers as well, you know. Don't get your mind twisted about slavery. Africans did as much fucking trading as white people and Portuguese and everything, and everybody else did. Don't fucking get tricked out on that. I'm telling you right now, this is the kind of shit that you want to deal with. France is gonna be meeting Italy for the finals, and when Platini was asked about the when Platini was asked the question whether he had been impressed with a particular team or a particular player at the World Cup,
He said, you have to wait for the final first because that's the only match that matters. It makes no sense to talk about which player or team left their mark on the tournament before then.
Well, what do you think? I think it makes sense. I think it makes sense. I'm really excited about this match. It's coming on tomorrow. France is facing Portugal. And this is going to be exciting. Germany wins third place World Cup Soccer 2006 FIFA tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Germany time, 3 p.m. USA time, 3 to 4. Start watching at 3. You won't fucking miss it. ESPN and everything. So I talked to the cousin pimp today. My God, my cousin is a fucking pimp. Here's what he does. I think I fucked him up because here's what I did. Years ago, I talked to him about, he bought a computer. He was seeing me on my computer, and I was telling him how, you know, I was a pimp, and I also used the computer to get some, you know, whole lot of bitches, and I was just plenty. He showed me fucking all these bitches, and he was like, how do you get all these bitches? I said, man, this is nothing. It's like, you should see when I go overseas with all the bitches. I got stories for you, so all with the fucking, my fucking pimp stories. American pimp, you want to talk about American pimp? I know the definition of a motherfucking American pimp. And I know two American pimps. Mark Starr, my motherfucking man. That's my nigga right there. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, give your little stuff a little shrug, you know what I'm saying? Brush that shit off your shoulder. You the man. You ain't got to worry about nothing. And my fucking cousin right there, the crazy Africanos. What are you doing? I don't know why you... I am a super pimp. I am American pimp. Why do Africans sound so musical? When you listen to them, you say, why is this guy singing to me? I don't know why you singing to me. I don't want to sing to you. Talk to me like a man. I don't want to play with you. I don't want to show live. I'm not fucking editing. It takes so much fucking time. I learned my fucking lesson with the Mark Starr show. It's a great show. I fucked it up because I spent too much time trying to edit it and trying to bring it down to whatever, and I fucked it up. So Mark Starr, we're going to do another show. But the African cousin, he's a super pimp. First of all, he came from straight up from Africa, like just like I did, straight up from fucking, you know, to the United States. And he fucking, but like he came in. And anyway, one time I showed up, I'll talk about it. He came in, actually. He came in through, he got a visa to go to Canada from one of his friends that lived in Canada. So in order to go through Canada, he had to go through the United States. Got a fucking visa for that, no problem, 30 days. Came back to the U.S. from Canada 2 weeks after he fucking got to Canada. And within 3 weeks, he had a job. So he fucking worked. And then, when his visa expired, he was illegal. He was illegal, but he came in legally, but then he ended up staying illegally for a little while. And after a while, he got his fucking green card. How did he get a job? Well, the first thing was a hookup. So then he worked at this place for a while and built tremendous experience, real experience. And, you know, he got hired at another place, no question. Obviously, you've been working at this joint. You must have a fucking, you know, he was telling me a lot of the fucking beaners, they use fucking fake social security numbers to get in this shit. And, they buy him and everything. He got in through there. And he fucking, you know, he kept jobs, kept getting jobs, kept getting better. You know, credit and blah, blah, blah. I don't know about the social security number. How you got that? I'm going to ask him. But he was saying, you know, when he first got in, he didn't care. So he got in because of need. You know, there was a need in the country. And so he got in. And, he was telling me a lot of these Spanish people that come in and get jobs. They get easy jobs. And the way he got a job is because he spoke French. And he was at his cousin's house one day hanging out as a newbie. You know, within his first 3 weeks of getting to the United States. He's like, wow, you know, I'm in the motherfucking United States. In the fucking 80s, too. Like, fucking, look, like, come on, man. Excess galore. He's in the 80s. He's in the U.S. in the 80s. New York City, man. Do you remember the 80s? That's true crime, New York City. That's that game, man. By the way, I'm playing this new game, Motocross Mania. That shit is hot up. PS2. Fucking motorcycle races. It's hot. You got bats. You can knock motherfuckers out as you jump to them. You see their health meters. You can knock them down and shit. You go through. It's a hot game. But anyway, this motherfucker got through and he got this job because he spoke French. Because one day he was at the house. Somebody calls. He was like, yeah, listen, we got this number. It was the 80s. I mean, come on. They got this fucking number.
French chefs in a restaurant. He got this number from somebody, somebody who knew Africans who spoke French who would be cheap slave labor, and somehow that information got passed fast through the fucking French world and fucking back door restaurants, and these motherfuckers call right there, and there he is. They bring him in, and he gets to fucking have a job, and so he does his work. And so, you know, he emigrated, I would call it legally. He might have stayed illegally, but he immigrated legally. And I don't think any of those guys who come in, a lot of these Spanish people immigrate legally. These motherfuckers are running out of options where they are, and they're fucking taking off. I don't know if you wouldn't, but I would too. I mean, I'd get the fuck out of here in a heartbeat if shit was bad and fucking Mussolini was in charge of shit. You know, Liberace was the fucking president. We'd have some problems then. I had a great interview with Dr. Remy. As a matter of fact, I put it all together. During that interview, somebody fucking calls me and says, "Well, waiting." I hate that shit. I'm not cutting it out because of the editing. I know where it is. I fucking listened to the show. I had to listen to the show to figure out what the fucking thing is. I'm not. Yeah, you should have taken the note. Well, like, well, this is where it is. And go back and cut it out. And I can't. I can't do it. But I tell you what. Cousin's a pimp, right? So I set him up years ago with a fucking computer. He told me I had a laptop and everything. So I gave him my old laptop. So I gave him my old laptop because I had gotten two new laptops. So I gave him my old laptop. And he took it and he used it. And he got on the internet and he got on fucking ICQ. And he started meeting chicks and then he bought a new computer. He started meeting chicks in different countries. I set him up with ICQ. I told him, man, you can meet some bitches on fucking ICQ. Like, I met a bitch who was a fucking reverend. She was a reverend. She had a church. And she was single. And I hooked up with her. And I fucked the shit out of her. And she let me do anal, all right? That bitch was a priest. And she let me fuck her in the ass. And she took me to her church and showed me her fucking church and everything. She was hot, man. I'm like, this bitch wears fucking... I says, no wonder how she hooked up with me. Because I said, you know, spiritual. I had something on my fucking profile. Like, spiritual fucking, you know, I'm a spiritual guy. I love you. Develop your own relationship with God. And I mean it. You know, she picked up on that. And, hey, big up to Uncle Shag at the Long Time Podcast. So I took the preacher to her house. And she let me fuck. Let me tell you something. That preacher, I don't care what it is. Maybe that shouldn't have been her job. Because she's a hot, fun piece of ass. And she has to, like, play it like that. She's a preacher. You know, she has her own church. She doesn't live anywhere close to it. Which is why she took me. She told me about it. I talked to her a lot. I opened up. You know, she opened up to me, like, big time. She, you know, I fucked her good. I didn't even eat her pussy, man. I just banged her hard. Anal, man. I fucked her hard, man. And I was like talking French to her. That bitch was in love. She stalked me for a little bit. And then she stopped by. I bet she had a sermon in church where she was talking about the evil of the bodies. You can't fuck around because it'll get you. I plunged her, man. I could just imagine I was fucking. I could imagine her on a fucking altar. That's bad. She was a great piece of ass. The Reverend. World Cup, a lot of shit going on. Keep up with the match, check things out. Gonna have the African cousin on soon. Looking to have Mark Starr as well. Maybe I'll do a Super Pimp series. I gotta call the door horse. Big up to the Red Fanny boys. Big up to the boys at Podomatic, Johnny, Brian, Justin. Big up to Mykala, big up to Baratunde out there, big up to APOD, big up to everybody, man. Thanks for checking out the site. Big up to Marla McKay. Welcome to Podomatic.com. This is an impromptu podcast. This is a sit down and just do the fucking thing and get it over it. Listen, this is Dr. Mo, and you're exiting the danger zone. Peace.